here this afternoon. I came from far, traveling around the world. I came from Europe and via South Africa and then Australia. So it's a long way. That's been my life for many years now, traveling around the world and meeting many people who are taking interest in Krishna consciousness. Please. And it's amazing, actually, how many people and how many different kinds of people are taking to Krishna consciousness. All over the world, people that are culturally so different are all taking interest in Krishna consciousness, which proves that it relates to the soul. And that is actually not at all a cultural thing, that people buy into a particular type of philosophy because it appeals to something they're already doing. But it really shows that it just touches people on a deeper level. In my case, when I first read this Bhagavad Gita, I had read so many spiritual books, or whatever I considered spiritual books, from the Tibetan Book of the Dead to the I Ching to Vedic literature to the Bhagavad Gita. But when I read this one, then I saw that Prabhupada, in his purports, in his explanations of the texts, was calling for full surrender. And he was explaining that that was actually what Krishna, in his own words, in the Gita, was asking for. And, you know, for the first time I realized that if I couldn't find anything wrong with it. I tried to find something wrong with it so that I didn't have to follow it. But I couldn't. So then I had a dilemma that if now I don't follow this, then I will never be able to live it myself anymore. Because I won't be able to consider myself sincere anymore. And how can I live with myself? And in that way, that was the point where I became locked in. I just got caught by the sincerity of Srila Prabhupada, actually. It was that which made me put on these robes and everything else at one point. And it is the Bhagavad Gita that was relevant many years ago in my life, and that is still relevant, and that remains always relevant, and each time appeals to us to act on a higher platform. Just like the verse that sort of opened now. Tenusmin yata dehe komaram yuvanam jara tata dehantara praptir diris tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Well, that's already challenging. Yeah. To not be affected by death is really something quite exalted. Most of us are a little shocked at that time. So this verse is asking a state of consciousness which is extremely high. And it also includes a faith that it doesn't end with death. It said in this life, we're passing through so many stages, and then it says, and after this life, we'll also carry on to another body. So that is interesting. Of course, this verse is either dealing with what kind of body one might attain. One might attain, again, a material body, or one might attain an eternal spiritual body, depending on our consciousness at the end of life. It said at the end of life, your consciousness is the fruit of a whole lifetime of activity. So life has a purpose, and that is what you have left at the end of life. Everything is gone, right? Your house, it doesn't matter. your bank balance doesn't matter. It's all gone. Even your body, at one point, it's gone. So what remains is your consciousness. And whatever is stored there from a lifetime of action and reaction, that's what you got at the end of life. And that will carry us to a next destination. Yam yam bhavismaram bhavam. Bhava means consciousness. That consciousness that one has will carry us. Charityam dakalevaram, at the end of time. So, consciousness is important. It's quite important. It's something that a lot of people are not so conscious of, if you know what I mean, somehow or other. That consciousness is something we are working with. I sometimes tell the story of a young boy who fell in love. Beautiful girl. And he went to her home with roses. And yes, the street where she lived, it was called Paradise Lane. And he went to her house, and, you know, he rang the doorbell, and there was music playing, ding, 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 dong. And then she came to the door and opened the door, and she said, "Ugh, roses, I'm allergic to roses." And his roses went like, and with the heads of the roses hanging down, she smashed the door in his face. He turned around, and the name of the street had changed into Hell's Gate, and there were Doberman pinchers barking, and he didn't know how quick to get out of that street. Same street, but consciousness had changed. So how much are we seeing things through consciousness? How much? Atmavan manyate jagat. What you see is not the universe, you see it through the glasses of consciousness. I was driving in the Himalayas. I was the driver. The road next to me, 3 kilometers down, was a drop. And other people in the van were looking at the beautiful snow caps that were surrounding us and said, "What a beautiful sight." And I said, "Yeah, what a beautiful sight." Atmavam manyate jagat. Whatever we experience it through our consciousness. So we all work with consciousness. It is that which we realize when we are chanting the mantra, that it purifies our consciousness. It uplifts the consciousness. It cleanses our consciousness. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an interesting story. Some sages, they have thought deep about the purpose of life. These sages have had for years practiced deep meditation and practices of austerities for their purification. They had practiced detachment. And these sages went for Lord Brahma. And they had a question. And they said to Lord Brahma, they said, basically, how is it that the mind goes into the things and the things go into the mind? Do you also have it? Oh, yes, it is. It's amazing what we carry with us in our mind. So many things. To illustrate it, I sometimes give the example. If you lock some money away, you do not just lock the money away, you lock a little piece of your mind away with that money. A little bit of your mind is also locked up with that money. Like this. The things go into our mind. So many things in our mind, and we carry them with us. And in the end, that makes up actually our consciousness, all these things. And what happened when you were 3 years old, and when you were 5, and when you were 9?